In this week's market update, sentiment turns negative as investors focus on the Delta variant and inflation. Oil falls as OPEC boosts production, and earnings season shifts from banks to tech. The mood turned decidedly risk-off either side of the weekend as investors focused their attention on two major concerns, growth and inflation. Shares fell sharply in Japan and Hong Kong before similar slides were recorded in the UK and continental Europe. The growth story is in turn focused once more on COVID and in particular the highly transmissible Delta variant, which is currently running amok in places that have failed to keep up with the vaccination rollouts in the developed world. Countries like Russia, Bangladesh, Vietnam and others are seeing a massive upsurge, not just in cases, but in COVID-related deaths too. The coincidence of the Delta upsurge and the arrival of so-called Freedom Day in the UK is one of the pandemic's bigger ironies. Letting young people loose in nightclubs and encouraging people back to work while taking away the legal requirement to wear masks but making it difficult for people to get away on holiday for a second summer looks inconsistent. It will either be looked back on as a bold step towards herd immunity or a public policy disaster. We can only wait and see. Meanwhile, the inflation story bared its teeth last week with unexpectedly high consumer prices prints on both sides of the Atlantic, above 5% in the US. The debate about whether or not the rises are temporary spikes or something more serious continues, and markets are frankly confused. The bond market is counterintuitively back in favour as investors bet that flagging growth is a bigger concern than rising prices, and it buys into the Fed's argument that price rises are transitory. The 10-year US Treasury yield fell back to 1.25% at the start of this week, well down on the 1.75% peak in the spring, suggesting that investors do not think the Federal Reserve is about to be forced into drastic tightening measures by spiralling inflation. Germany's 10-year yield, meanwhile, hit minus 0.37%, its lowest since March. The stock market seems more worried by growth than inflation for now. The S&P 500 had its worst day in a month on Friday, down 0.75%, and the negative sentiment spilled over into Asian and European shares on Monday. In a sign that investors are increasingly looking for safe havens, the dollar hit a three-month high against sterling. A mismatch is building between the still high overall level of the stock market and what's going on beneath the surface. First, there's been a dramatic narrowing in the breadth of the market, with only 30% of S&P 500 constituents currently standing above their 50-day moving average. It's extremely rare for a market to hit an all-time high when so few companies are doing the same. In fact, the only times this has happened have been shortly before significant corrections of the market, by 20% in 1998 and by more than 50% in 2000. Now, no one is saying that history will repeat itself, but for some time now, parallels have been drawn with the correction in the summer of 2010, when the post-financial crisis V-shaped recovery ran out of steam. That was a period when the market stalled as it moved from the early cycle hope phase of rising valuations to the mid-cycle growth phase of rising earnings. This is rarely a smooth period in markets. Part of that process seems to be a distinct rotation back from value to growth, just 6 months or so after the discovery of vaccines last November seemed to promise a path back to normality. The only segment of the market that's really holding up now, and this is what's underpinning the overall index, is large growth shares. Smaller growth shares and all types of value stocks are going sideways or retreating. Now, this might seem at odds with the high inflation prints last week, which would normally be expected to favour cyclical and value shares over defensive growth plays. But it does give ammunition to those who argue that rising prices are just a reflection of unusual year-on-year comparisons and not the sign of a more entrenched price spiral. One further plank in this argument is provided by the divergence between shares and commodities in recent weeks. The supercycle in economically sensitive commodities like industrial metals has been put on the back burner for now. So there are things to worry about for investors, but one thing that does seem to be going according to plan is earnings season. It's still very early days, with only around 40 of the 500 biggest US companies having reported so far. But the expected growth rate in earnings in the April to June quarter versus the same last year is now up to 71%. And the full year calendar growth expectation is now up to 37%. This means that even if sentiment falls away due to COVID and inflation fears, the stock market may be able to hold on to recent levels. It's a fragile market, but not necessarily one that's bound to correct. This week, attention will shift from the banks, which kicked off earnings season strongly last week, to the tech companies, with Netflix, Twitter, Intel, IBM and Snap all due to report. It will be interesting to see whether the tech sector continues to live up to its reputation for fast and stable earnings growth. If it does, and with expectations of an earlier than expected hike in interest rates now fading, investors will remain attracted to this part of the market. One commodity that's risen sharply over the past year and so far has largely held on to its gains is oil. That's because it has benefited from a double whammy of rising demand as economies reopen and restricted output as OPEC and its main ally, Russia, have stuck with production curbs designed to dig the oil price out of the hole it fell into during the pandemic. A year ago, we watched as briefly producers were paying others to take oil off their hands because they had nowhere to store it. Even once that crisis passed, the oil price was languishing at a level in the $20 to $30 range, where countries like Saudi Arabia faced challenging budget constraints. Their response was, as it always is, to cut back production to boost the price, and it's worked well. Recently, however, the unified front presented by OPEC has started to fracture, and disagreements have emerged, particularly with the United Arab Emirates, Saudi's small but influential neighbour. The oil cartel this weekend agreed to raise output in order to put a lid on a price which has reached nearly $75 a barrel and threatened to head towards $100. OPEC and its allies have now set the end of next year as the target for restoring all the output withdrawn during the pandemic. In terms of policy announcements, this week's focus turns to the ECB, which meets on Thursday, just a couple of weeks after the European Central Bank concluded a strategic review that opens the door to the ECB following the Fed's lead and tolerating higher inflation in a bid to avoid becoming trapped Japan-like in a permanent low inflation, low interest rate world. Whether agreement is any easier between Europe's disparate countries, as it has been proved between OPEC's different constituents, is a moot point. Germany has called recently for the ECB to start winding down its bond buying programme, reverting to its traditional position as the bloc's biggest inflation hawk. However, for now, there seems little to suggest that the central bank will not remain in the lower for longer camp, maintaining stimulus even after inflation rises above target.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.